Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
We welcome back University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to have joining us as our guest, Representative Joseph Shekarchi, a Warwick Democrat. Thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Ian.
The Brookings Institution this week called on Rhode Island to improve its economy by investing in promising job sectors. Brookings says it will take universities, the business community, and elected officials to implement its laundry list of recommendations. Representative Shekarchi, do you think that with these different stakeholders being called to take part, will it be difficult to implement this complicated plan?
Well, it's always going to be difficult. There's nothing really terribly new in the Brookings report. It's pretty consistent with what we've known for a long time. What I thought was good about the Brookings report, my two takeaways were we need the business community, the private sector, to not only be involved and engaged, but we need them to follow up. They need to be involved in the legislative process, in the electoral process, and in the governing process. If the private sector gets more involved, I think you'll see a better economy.
Scott, subtext in this report, as Representative Shekarchi said, is that the business community has been kind of checked out on civic improvement. Why is that the case?
Well, I think one thing that's really changed in Rhode Island is that we no longer have locally anchored companies. An awful lot of the companies we have here are headquartered elsewhere. I mean, even the governor herself, her venture capital firm moved to Boston. And I think that it's fine to say for business we need to get involved, but they're not going to get involved unless they see the opportunity for a profit.
And Maureen, what would you say on the question of whether it will be difficult to implement the many recommendations from this report when the governor and Brookings are saying that universities and the business community also have to be part of the process along with government?
I agree with the representative in the sense that this is different in that if you can get these sectors to at least acknowledge a similar strategy, I think that's going to go a long way. And I think they have to step up to the plate because given the kind of general cynicism in terms of government, there might be something in the budget, for example, to reflect starting this initiative. But if you don't get the philanthropic, the business community, and the universities as part of this solution, the public isn't going to go for it.
Governor Raimondo is facing questions about her use of university foundations to pay for different initiatives. The Rhode Island College Foundation is paying for the $210,000 salary for the state's first chief innovation officer, Richard Colada. And although the trip was canceled due to impending snow, the URI Foundation was going to pay the tab for Governor Raimondo's excursion to the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. Let's start with Maureen. You're obviously an employee of URI. What is your view on whether it's appropriate for the governor to use these foundations for these initiatives?
I think it was completely inappropriate. I am so surprised they even came up with this plan. And frankly, I think she was saved by the snow because we're talking about trying to coordinate university efforts with the state and to start out this way, to not understand the line between foundation money and the kind of money she should be using is not getting off on the right foot. So I think, as I say, it was completely inappropriate. Everybody should have known better. Fortunately, I guess, this has not come about, and I think she's the better for it.
Representative Shekarchi, you're close to the governor. You ran her 2010 campaign for treasurer. How do you respond to the criticism from Maureen that this is not an appropriate use of university foundation money?
Well, I don't know if it was appropriate or not because I don't know what the mission statement and the goals of the foundation and how the money is raised, but obviously somebody or some people approve this. I will tell you in other states, as next door in Connecticut, last year, Governor Malloy went to the same conference in Switzerland and he partnered with and was paid for by University of Connecticut. So this is not something new that hasn't been done before. Now, I don't know internally how the foundation works or how they spend the money, but obviously the request came from the governor's office and it was approved by somebody. So maybe the foundation needs to do a little bit more tightening of their regulations if it was not 100% within their guidelines, but it seemed to be that it was and only became a problem when someone started to question it. But the reality is that it's a great thing to be invited. Governor Kachiri, Governor Amon, Governor Chafee never got invited. I'm glad that our governor got invited. I'm glad she was willing to go and sell Rhode Island, promote Rhode Island in one place with all these business leaders. We need to have a proactive governor. Let's not lose sight of the mission. The $7,000 payment is not a huge expenditure. The goal could have been a much attained it much easier in a better way.
What do you think, Scott?
Well, I want to ask Representative Sikarchi, who I know is a good talker, no filibustering, please, yes or no, who is right on the $210,000 salary? Speaker Mattiello or Governor Raimondo? Should it be paid for out of RIC? It seems like a cut and dried question. Who's right? Which one?
I don't know. Exactly. I'll give you my opinion. I will gladly give you my opinion because, again, I don't know.
You haven't looked into it?
No, I have not looked into the internal workings of the Rhode Island College Foundation. I have not.
No, but doesn't it look like if you're going to add a $210,000 state job, you're going around the House Finance Committee? Have you people just potted plants in the legislature?
No.
You can do that without legislative approval?
Let me explain my understanding of why it was done, and then you can say if it was a good idea or a bad idea. I believe it was done because the foundation itself, this is the reports that I've read and the information that I have, the foundation itself wanted it, asked for it, and created this position because this foundation can accept grants and accept money from private corporations who are willing to fund this kind of research and this innovation. Where if he became a state employee, for example, a Microsoft or a Facebook wouldn't give money, they would only give to a foundation. So now, could the explanation been better? Yes. Could the requirements been more disclosed? Yes. Was it right or wrong? I don't know, because I don't know what the rules are. But again, it was asked for and it was approved. So somebody internally has to step up. You're asking a member of the General Assembly or a member of the public to make a decision. The people inside these organizations, these foundations, say, yes, this is the right thing. It's within our guidelines and rules and we did it. Or no, we made a mistake. They need the one who approved this need to stand up and be accountable for it. Look, and that's not a filibuster answer.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
This was a very political move. Ed Pacheco, who is on the board at RIC and also their outreach person, was the former state chair. He was a representative
of the
Democratic Party, and he was a former representative. I find it totally inappropriate. Moreover, I find it very curious and disturbing that the governor never even ran this by the speaker. Is that how things operate up there? You wouldn't give him at least a heads up and say, this is a very new and different kind of policy position. This is what I'm doing. Is that how it works?
When you say it, what do you mean? The administration?
Why the governor and the governor's office who created this did not at least give Nick Mattiello a heads up?
I don't speak for the governor's office. They have a whole press operation, and you can chain that question to them. My understanding was that people did communicate. Now, did it reach the level of the speaker? I don't know. Obviously, the speaker has concerns. Some of our membership in the House and in the Senate have concerns. But the reality is, I don't know how the internal workings go, and I don't know how they interrelate with other offices.
Representative Sikarchi, we're almost out of time. But before we let you go, we have to ask whether opponents of Governor Raimondo's truck toll plan are going to be able to diminish legislative support for it. We expect a bill could hit the House floor as soon as next week.
The proof's in the pudding. The bill has not come out. So until the bill comes out, I am not prepared to take any kind of a position. There is no, concrete fairy going to come out and fix the roads. The roads are a disaster. GE went to Boston with a whole bunch of incentives, including a package for new roads and bridges.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you, and go Patriots.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Representative Joseph Sikarchi, a Warwick Democrat.
Always a pleasure.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, visit our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.